If you have your Bibles, go with me to the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, please. Romans chapter number 13. I'm glad to be in God's house tonight.
Amen.
I really started to just preach on this subject tonight. God is faithful. I've been mulling around with that all day, and I'll just be quite honest with you. It's still in my soul tonight that I'm serving a faithful God. Hey, listen, if I'm up, he's faithful. If I'm down, he's faithful. But if I'm in, he's faithful. If I'm out, he's faithful. I'm glad for a faithful God.
Amen.
You said, but preacher, you ought to beat that thing to death. Well, wait till you go through a little trial. Wait till you have a little burden. Wait till you have a financial situation need taken care of. Wait till you have a little sick baby. Wait till you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You'll thank God he's faithful. Told myself I wasn't going to do a hallelujah. Thank you. If you got your Bible, 13th chapter of the book of Romans. I'll probably give you probably one of the most important messages that I have preached in this pulpit for about a year. I pray, God, that you'll do what I preach. I didn't say that you'll do exactly how I live, because I don't always live what I'm preaching, but I believe what I'm preaching. Somebody say amen. Romans 13, are you there?
Amen.
You know how the chapter starts. Starts about our obedience to the higher powers, to the government. Y'all know that. You say, preacher, I'm a libertarian, I'm an anarchist. You ought to be thrown in jail. The libertarian thing's all right, but the anarchist thing ain't all right. Somebody help me preach right there.
Amen.
Starts out, by the way, friend, God established human government. That's in the first few verses. It's not what I'm preaching on, but that's a pretty good thought. Look with me down to verse number 10. It's an awesome few verses. And I have one in particular I want to spend some time on. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed.
Amen.
The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put forth the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chamberlain and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what I want you to look at. How many got verse 14 right before you? If you got your Bible before you got verse 14, will y'all read this with me? Will you please get your Bible, read this with me, because I really want you to see it. Look at verse 14. If you're there, say amen. Now read it together. Let's read it together. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. What a tremendous, powerful passage in the Word of God. This epistle of the book of Romans deals primarily with the gospel. I want to make a statement. I hope you listen to it. A little play on words, but you listen. The gospel is in the Bible, but not everything in the Bible is the gospel. Let me say it again. The gospel is in the Bible, but not everything in the Bible is the gospel. Are y'all with me? The whole theme of the book of Romans is the gospel. First of all, the principle of the gospel. What the gospel is. Tell that crowd, that full gospel crowd, they said they're the full gospel. And here's what they're saying. They say they believe the death, burial, resurrection, I hope, plus your works, plus speaking in tongues, and all that junk. The gospel is not speaking in tongues. The gospel is nothing more than the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And by the way, there ain't no way to heaven without trusting the gospel. And then we have the problems of the gospel. There's just some people not going to accept the gospel. They're going to object to the gospel. There's some folks don't like our way of preaching and our way of worshiping. And they really don't like our style. Somebody help me preach. I know that. Hey, listen, their church is empty all the way down through Taze Valley tonight because they must not believe in the gospel because they ain't having church on Sunday night. They must not believe in the gospel because they have some cell ministry. I always thought that was the craziest thing in the world. There's a lot of people that have some objections to the gospel. I hear people tell me this all the time, my enemies. And those that are not of the faith, I just can't believe your way. Hey, you're just preaching that gospel grace. I got a problem with it because I believe you got to add works and I believe you got to add baptism and I believe you ought to add church membership. I tell you, the gospel is the death, burial, the resurrection, plus nothing and minus nothing. And we see these principles spread out through the book of Romans. But Romans 13 not only deals with the principle and the problems, but here's what Romans 13's theme is. The practice of the gospel. Hey, man, the gospel is one message entered around one person. And that one message and that one person will change your life if you ever get saved. Hey, man, how many believe all things change when you get saved? Amen. Come on now. That word change is that metamorphosis. Isn't it the caterpillar that turns into the butterfly? Listen to me, friend. You look at a caterpillar, there ain't no way you could ever think he's ever going to be a real beautiful flowing butterfly. But I want you, that metamorphosis, that change comes. And he becomes a butterfly. I want to tell you what, you never think, oh God, sinners like us on our way to hell like us, as wicked as we are, could ever be influenced this much that our whole life changed once we got the gospel. Whew. Y'all stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Older I get, the more I got to build a porch. All things changes. See, here's what happens. God deposits something on the inside that will affect the outside. How many believe that? I'm going to just tell you this. I'm not a lordship man, but I still believe if you've got something on the inside, it's going to affect you outside. And you don't need a preacher coming up here and pounding you over the head how to live. If you really are living the gospel, it'll start and it'll come from the inside out. See, if the gospel's done right and you put yourself in the gospel, it'll be centered around something. So let me lead you up to my point. Look at verse 10. It'll be centered around love. See, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Somebody help me preach right there. It's centered around the fulfilling of love. If you read these verses, verse 9, it talks about, or 10, the love of God. And verse 11, the time is short and we ought to know the time. Somebody help me. But I'm interested. Will y'all look at something with me? I'm interested in verse number 14. Will you look at it with me? One phrase. And make not provision for the flesh. I want to preach tonight on that phrase. Make no provision for the flesh. Now I'm going to do a little survey. Survey says? Survey. Now let me start. Anybody here been saved over 50 years? Raise your hand. Wow. Wow, thank you. Anybody saved over 40 years? But not over 50, okay? Anybody say 30 and above? Wow. 20 and above. 10 and above. 5 and above. All right. Lesson 1. Yeah. Now let me say something to you. I don't care if you've been saved 50 years or 1 year. The flesh is still evil, and you should not make any provision for it. Somebody help me preach right there. You can be saved 50 years or 75 years, but there's no improving the flesh. There's no decorating the flesh. There's no educating the flesh. Listen to me. Make no provision. I want to tell you what, when I live out the gospel, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, let me slow down. I'm going somewhere, and I this is just a teaching, preaching type sermon tonight. What's it mean by making no provision for the flesh? Well, let me say it like this. Don't solicit the flesh for some advice. How many get that? Don't offer the flesh to take over any. Quiet in here. Don't alert the flesh when you get a problem. Don't tempt the flesh with green lights and yellow lights. Make no provision for the flesh. Whew. You know, I hear a lot of people say this. Well, I'll never do what my drunk daddy did. Oh, I'll never do what my mother did in abusing the children. I want you to know something. Don't you tell me what you think you can dictate. I want to tell you what, you father of the flesh, you can do just about anything. Somebody say amen. By the way, you can't scare the flesh either. Like, boo. Boo, flesh, go away. Boo. Boo, boo, boo. Oh, he's really convinced. Whether you like it or not, the flesh has hung on you. Whether you like it or not, you're going to have to live with that baggage the rest of your life. I know you're saying you're taking a long time to getting into this. The only way to victory is to walk after the Spirit. Amen. And live after the Spirit. Am I preaching? Now let me, by the way, let me tell y'all this. And I'm going to give you 4 points. We're going home. You really need to starve your flesh. And I'm not talking about your stomach. I'm talking about that old nature that you got in your life. Now, can I give you 4 principles and let you go home? First of all, I want you to notice in verse number 11, you need to make a resolution of watchfulness. Now, whether you like this or not, the devil is sneaking up on you all the time. And whether you like it or not, your flesh is ready to rear up just about any time. I hate it when I give over to it. You say, well, preacher, I get provoked sometime and give over to it. And by the way, I understand that's a reality. But I'm going to tell you, I make no excuses about being provoked. You ought not to give over to the flesh. It's rough. Am I preaching? See, you say, why I preach? Let me give you two or three things. You need to have, first of all, a clear awareness. Look at the verse here in verse 11. And knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of your sleep. I want to tell you something. The most miserable person I know is the person that is not aware of the time and is not watching that old flesh. Somebody say amen. Listen to me. We're in the last time. Somebody say amen. We ought to know the time. Amen. And we We need a critical awakening. Awake. See, here's what you can't do. I know folks that have made decisions, listen to me, out of the flesh, because they took the flesh lightly. Let me give y'all some advice. Can I give you, how many wants a little bit of advice to help you the rest of your life? Don't make no decisions when you're down. Definitely don't make no decision when you're mad. Don't make your decisions when you're confused. You make your decisions when you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you don't give any awareness to the flesh.
Amen.
Y'all still with me? Then I see a conscious anticipation, verse number 11. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You say, well, what's that mean? I thought I was already saved. Can I give y'all some good doctrine here? Y'all ready? I am saved. I'm being saved. And I shall be saved.
Amen.
You say, that confused me. Yeah, because you don't know what I'm talking about yet. I am saved from the penalty of sin.
Amen.
That's justification. I am being saved from the power of sin.
Amen.
That's sanctification. And one of these days I'll be saved from the presence of sin. That's glorification. And Paul was not talking about his salvation. He was talking about the time when he would not even have to deal with the flesh anymore. Verse number 12. Let me give you a second clue about how to give no provision for the flesh. There got to be a removal of wickedness. Look what it said. Are y'all with me? How many still with me? You ain't asleep yet. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast what? Off the what? And let us what? Put on the armor of light. See what I'm talking about here. This removal of wickedness, it requires a different attitude. We're not in darkness because we've been delivered from the darkness into the light. Then why do we constantly want to, okay, we want to constantly want to walk back in it. Come on now. How much listen to me tonight? You can't just walk back into sin. I'm going to y'all know something. I got delivered from alcohol. And I'm not going back. I've never taken drugs ever in my life. But if I did, I would never take them again. Somebody help me. I've never cheated on my wife. But I ain't going to either. Somebody help me. When y'all know amen, I'm starting to wonder about you. See, here's the thing. And some of your attitude here tonight is that when the time calls for it, I will give in to the flesh instead of removing wickedness. I got to be honest with you. Somebody asked me, said, have you ever been in a bar since you've been saved? Not to drink. I went into 2 bars in my lifetime, one in Taze Valley and one in Elkview, to get a church member out. Hello?
Yes, sir.
And I want you to know something. I'm not going to drive down after service tonight and stop in at Bogey's and order a Coke.
Amen.
I ain't saying I couldn't, but I ain't.
Amen.
And you say, well, you mean you can't overcome that? And I ain't going to go 5 days in a row to Bogey's and order a Coke. Because I got honest with you. I know what my flesh is like. I go in there and smell that Coors Light and smell that. I know some of y'all like that. But anyway, it's going to lower my flesh. Am I preaching? By the way, I got to tell y'all something. I don't have very many friends. I want you all to know that. First of all, I don't trust many people. But I tell you what, I will not have somebody influence my life that's a friend that they're going to try to influence negatively, because I ain't getting in their darkness. Somebody say amen. You can be my friend all you want to be my friend, but let me tell you, you bring in your darkness, I'm stepping out.
Amen.
Hey, some of you young people need to listen to me. You don't want to need to run around with your gang of buddies on Saturday night and expect you can be filled with God on Sunday morning. Am I preaching?
Amen.
Why would I walk out of light into darkness? I don't go out and play poker with the boys. And I want y'all to know this. I want to be honest with you. If there's anything I'm weak at, was weak at when before I got saved, I was in my dad's gambling business. I liked doing that. I loved it. It's fleshly. I want y'all to know I hadn't had that. I've not ever done that since I got saved. But I tell you what, hey, Paul Spurlock, I'm not going to take a walk down to the poker table. Every time I go to the Bahamas and they got one of them casinos, I've got to put a lock around Marguerite and lead her out of there. I don't want to tell any stories about my secretary, Cindy. Her and slot machines or nothing like that. Oh, hey, Cindy, you're in church. I'm kidding. Truth is, if you don't make provision for the flesh, you cannot walk in darkness if you're going to keep from making provision for the flesh. Y'all still with me? I'm almost done, I promise. I'm starting to enjoy this. Listen, there needs to be thoroughly a readiness for warfare. Look what it says. Look at verse 12 again. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. By the way, you can't put on the armor of light until you take off the armor of darkness. Am I preaching? Don't tell me you got the armor of light if you're still into darkness. It won't work. You say, I want the armor of light. Well, the only way to have the armor of light is put off darkness. Is that good? And I want y'all to know something. When you start doing these principles I'm preaching at, you better be ready for warfare, because it's going to happen. Amen. Number four. I'm almost done. I bet some of y'all are thrilled to death with that, ain't you? Look at verse 13. Are y'all following me in the Bible?
Yes.
Number four. We need righteousness in our walk. Look what it says. Are y'all with me? Y'all liking this as much as I am? Look at this verse in verse 13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. See, here's what he's saying. You need to have a genuine purity. See, can I give you something? Don't do something at night that you wouldn't do at day. How many got that one? Or did that go by you too fast? Don't do something in the night that you wouldn't do in the day. When the light's all over you, oh, you say, well, preach. By the way, if you got a little weakness with pornography on your computer, if you can't bring it up here and set it up and let me watch it tonight, in the daytime, you ought not to do it at night. There's an epidemic tonight of folks clinging to the flesh. How many think that's a great principle? See, what I'm saying is, don't do something in private that you wouldn't do in public. Genuine purity. And by the way, verse 13, we ought to be governed by practices. Look what it says. Stay with me. Y'all with me? Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wanting, not in strife and envy. You know what? There's people in this world that just can't get along with anybody. Well, wait a minute. See, we need to be governed by practices, not by strife, not by, yeah, not be jealous of anybody. Well, there's somebody that preaches up here. If you're a preacher and somebody's preaching up here, you ought to thank God for them, whether it's Pastor Smith, Brother Jared, one of these young preachers, you respect them. Come on now. Ain't no big eyes and little U's. We're governed by practices. We don't practice dishonesty. We don't practice drunkenness and chambering and strife. If you're bitter tonight, you really need to get over it. It will destroy you. It'll make you make decisions you wish you'd never made. Somebody help me. I hate to say that. I know this is going to be coming across a little strong. You need to get your big boy pants on and say, hey, amen. You're right. And say, I am not going to be bitter at anybody. I am going to forgive and love people. It's ruined preachers. It's ruined singers. It's ruined deacons. It ruins everybody. Having some on against somebody that don't mean nothing. And I'll tell you what it'll lead to. It'll lead to you making some decision away from God. You're right. I can tell you all this. Ain't a person in this room I'm one bit bitter at. Paul, if I was bitter at anybody, you know what I'd do? I'd either get right. I would go to them and I would say to them, okay, let's get it right. Amen. Then if they don't get it right, it's on them.
That's right.
But you know what? People don't want to put their big boy pants on.
I know. All too well.
Am I preaching? Yeah. I don't even know why I got there, Dana. We need to, listen to me. We are not governed by the flesh. We're governed by practices. I'm trying to wrap this thing up, but I'm starting to get deeper. I got some good stuff to end this thing with. I'm just trying to get into the crowd. Y'all, how many still with me? And number three, we need garmented. You say, what do you mean garmented? You say, what kind of garment should we put on? I know, teacher. Look at verse 14. How many's there? But put on the Lord Jesus. Woo! Amen. Quit listening to the flesh. Put on Jesus. Now, how many's got a pen and a paper? I want you to write a word down. If you got pen and paper, write this word down. I'm talking about how to deal with the flesh. See, listen to me carefully. I'm almost running over this, here's what some people try to do. They try to deal with the flesh defensively. Defensively. Ain't gonna work. Jared, it ain't going to work. Sir. You deal with the flesh, you got to do it offensively. Now, can I give you a word? Ready to write it down? H-A-L-T. How many wrote it down? Make no provision for the flesh. H, don't hunger after it. A, don't be angry. L, it'll come when you're lonely. See, the flesh comes up when you're hungry, when you're angry, and when you're lonely. And the flesh comes up when you're tired. How many believe this is some good preaching? See, what you need to decide to do, I'm going to be a spiritual person and not a fleshy person. Can I tell you when I had my biggest battle with the flesh? Boom. Y'all want to hear it? When I am tired. Let me give you another time. Sometimes I feel like Elijah. Some of y'all got Elijah syndrome. How many knows what I mean by Elijah syndrome? Lord, I'm the only one. I will tell you, sometimes my job's the most lonely job in the world. And I get the Elijah syndrome. I feel like I'm all alone. I feel like sometimes I'm the only one fighting the battle. You know what God told Elijah? I got 70 guys down there. They ain't bowed down to Baal. I want all my preacher boys come up here. All you young preacher boys. Come on up here, you youngins, if you're a preacher. Come up around me. Come around, just circle me around here. I need some guards. Come around here, William. God bless you. I'd give $100 for that head of hair. Boys, come around here. Y'all ain't for me? I'm not lonely right now. There's a whole mess of people right here around me. You may feel alone, but actually you're not alone. And when you get alone and you get tired, you don't give no provision to the flesh. Remember, help's on the way. And God's going to help you. You really need this halt method. Somebody say amen. Yeah. When you're hungry, don't make no provision for the flesh. When you seem to want to get angry, don't make no provision. When you're lonely, don't make any provision. When you're tired. And church, I don't want to lie to you. I am wore out tonight. I have slept probably about 15 hours in 4 days. I'm absolutely wasted. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And he's going to renew my strength. And I'm going to mount up wings like eagles. And I'm going to run and not be weary and walk and not faint. Because I'm not going to make provision for the flesh. Sit down, boys. Stand with me. You're here tonight. Maybe the devil's been fighting you. You're about to give up on your marriage, give up on everything, give up on God. You've been getting in the flesh. How many people will come around this altar tonight and pray right now? Just slip out of your seat and say, I don't want to make any provision for flesh. I want a spiritual life. Father, touch this invitation. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for your goodness toward us. Lord, touch this invitation. Help people come weeping. Saying, I don't want to make any provision for the flesh. In in Jesus' name. Come around the altar. I'm going to pray.